3:30 and there's somebody at the door. There's somebody at the door. Let's see who it is. It's Mark Searby. How have you been?
Ill. Very ill. Last week I came in and it was just the start of being ill. If only I'd have known then. Like the next day I lost my voice completely. Over Christmas I've been in bed mainly.
I know
some people say that's lucky. Not for me. I was really looking forward to all the food, you know. I mean, we've got a big tub of celebrations. Not even been started.
Oh, dear. Yeah. So your hair's not as vertical as usual, so there's always something wrong with you.
That's the thing, unfortunately it is the hair this time, yeah.
And before we get on to your best stroke worst of the year, I was amused that one of your fruity retweets was based on watching films with the parentals and the family collective. And this is all over on Twitter as well. Other people saying this, like, who was that pointing at the telly? What did he say? Luke and Leia are related? Who's their parents? And this is where subtitles and the pause button come in very handy.
It drives me insane because people will sit there and go, what's going on now? What's happening now? Well, you're talking over it. They're given the explanation now and yet you're talking over it. Well, who's that? What's it? If you let the film run, at some point there's going to be an explanation. Well, hopefully there's an explanation. Why do you need to know it now? Because then you're spoiling it for everybody. You're spoiling it for yourself. You know, those wonderful moments. It's like the incredible ending of The Usual Suspects. You know, that amazing twist. You're just like, wow. Could you imagine if somebody had told you that 20 minutes in? Oh, by the way, that's Kaiser Soze. it would have just negated the whole point of watching that film. You know, something like The Sixth Sense.
Oh, my nan did that. As soon as she saw it and saw the scene in the bathroom, she just pointed at the telly and said, I bet he's going to die and stay dead.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Thanks for that. That's really, really helpful.
Cheers, man.
I just, honestly, I hate it. I really do. I know that some people want information at the time. That's great. But you're watching a film and 9 times out of 10, these films are either thrillers or dramas that slowly bring out these little twists and turns. If you have it all in the first 10 minutes or 15 minutes or as it's going along, what's the point?
I've got the top 10 grossing box office films in front of me. So if any of your top or worst films are in that list, you'll hear this noise.
Oh.
So, with the best stroke worst of 2017, Mark Searby enlightens us.
Well, I thought I'd move it into a few genres that we watch, you know, the bigger genres. So I'm going to talk about horror, comedy, superhero / comic book, animation as well. So let's start with horror. It's been a really, really good year for horror films, like really good year. It's the first year for a few years where A-list horror films have actually done it. There's been loads of great B-list horror films that have done it, but in terms of horror, we've had Better Watch Out, which came out earlier this year, which was a great Christmas horror film. The Love Witch, which was really funny homage to the 70s. Brimstone with Guy Pearce, who obviously used to be in Neighbours. The Autopsy of Jane Doe, which is shot in just 2 rooms and is brilliantly terrifying. Prevenge, which is a British film starring Alice Lowe. I absolutely love that. Martin Scorsese's Silence, which I know some people will say is not a horror film, but I really do think it is. It's so chilling. Absolutely chilling. Kong Skull Island is a horror film. No two ways about it. Love it. It's very fun as well. Alien Covenant, horror film. I thought it was great. I know a lot of people hated it. Darren Aronofsky's Mother is... Oh, dear. It's a film that has been swirling around in my brain since I saw it maybe in September. And it's definitely a horror film, but it's so subjective. You don't know what the horror is, and I think that's the brilliance of it. The two big standout horror films for me, Get Out by Jordan Peele. Absolutely brilliant. Just one of those films that came out of nowhere and all of a sudden just got the zeitgeist of everything that is happening at this exact moment and just terrified. Yeah, it's still got all these comedic moments in it because Jordan Peele is actually a comedic writer, actor. I absolutely loved it. I thought it was incredible. However, there was a better horror film than that this year. It, the Stephen King remake. Yes. Yes.
Was the original a film or a long TV series?
It was a long TV series, yes.
With Tim Curry?
Tim Curry. Yeah. Yes, as Pennywise. Now we've got Bill Skarsgård as Pennywise. Completely different version. Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. I wasn't prepared for how scary this film was going to be. I love horror. I grew up on horror. I thought this was just absolutely brilliant. They nailed every one of those kids was perfectly cast, and it was just about the small children, you know, when they're like kids and growing up in Maine and everything. I thought they nailed everything about this film perfectly. I can't wait to see it again, but at the same time, I don't want to see it again because I was genuinely scared about it.
People have a thing about clowns though, don't they?
They do, yeah. Chlorophobia, I think it's called. Yes.
Yeah.
No, I get it. I get it. My brother-in-law has a thing about clowns. He's never going to see this film.
Do you want to hear a true story about me relating to clowns? This is hilarious.
Yes, please, please.
When I was a little bit younger than I am now, I would absolutely refuse to be taken into McDonald's because I was afraid of the clown. And that's why for the first couple of years of me having fast food, I went to BK.
Right, okay. I have to say it's a valid point though, because you're saying, you know, people don't like clowns. And let's face it, us of a certain age, probably the first clown we came in association with that constantly stuck was Ronald McDonald.
Yeah.
Scary.
Yeah.
When did you get over it?
I'll let you know.
So It, I thought, was probably the best horror film of the year. I absolutely adored it. Comedy. We all love a good comedy. We all like to, you know, have a laugh and a joke. It's not been a good year for comedy. I've really got to say that. It's, a lot of stuff has failed this year. Failed miserably as well, like the Baywatch remake with Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
No.
Do you know what? I really wanted to like it. I thought it was absolutely terrible. I thought it was really bad.
It's a bit like when they redid Dukes of Hazzard.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly like that. They sort of missed the whole point of what the show was. The Hitman's Bodyguard with Ryan Reynolds and Samuel L. Jackson was absolutely terrible considering the cast. George Clooney's Suburbicon, starring Matt Damon, Julianne Moore and Oscar Isaacs, brilliant cast, brilliant director, missed everything, so bad. I mean, not bad, but boring.
Yeah.
How can it be boring? You know, that's the thing. A Bad Mom's Christmas, I thought was absolutely terrible. I loved the first one, was excited for this, thought it was absolutely terrible. The Kingsman, Golden Circle, action, adventure, comedy. No, it's none of those. It's an offensive piece of trash that made me feel sick.
It's like trying to turn Colin Firth into John Steed.
Yes.
Which... he's Mr. Darcy.
Well, this is the thing. It actually works in the first film, but in the second film, they really just decided, right, we're going to take the crudeness up to 11. And you think, who is this aimed at? Oh, I know who it's aimed at. It's aimed for teenage boys. And that's it. And it made me feel sick watching it. I was horrified by it. Pirates of the Caribbean, Salazar's Revenge. I am indifferent to this film. I thought it was a satisfying film. But when you consider what has gone before it, I thought it was quite poor. You know, it seemed to... thankfully, they sidelined Johnny Depp quite a lot because I thought he was absolutely terrible in most of them. But this, to me, just felt like, we've run our course now. It's not that funny anymore. You know, the drunk pirate is not that funny anymore. We need to move on. So, yeah, disappointed. Fortunately, there were a couple of comedy films that actually did make it big, make it worthwhile going to see comedy.
Okay.
The Disaster Artist, James Franco's adaptation of a book all about the worst film ever made called The Room. I'm a huge fan of The Room, huge fan of it. So this was already on my plate. I was always going to like it. But I could never have expected to find that James Franco had dug right under the skin of Tommy Wiseau, who created The Room, and actually found out what made the guy tick. Why did he come to the US? Why did he put all of this money into this film that just did not work? You know, it did... I absolutely loved it from start to finish. I was crying with laughter. If you haven't seen The Room, it doesn't matter, because they have little nods back and they go, oh, here's what it looks like with the real room and here's what it looks like in The Disaster Artist. Honestly, I thought it was brilliant. I just absolutely held my way through it. The Death of Stalin by Armando Iannucci, who did Veep and The Thick of It.
And Partridge as well.
Yes. This is a very adult, very crude, very rude comedy of errors that have a brilliant cast. I won't say too much more because it's coming on DVD soon, but honestly, I was just howling with laughter at how stupid. It's very Inspector Clouseau, let's say that. Thought that was great. Free Fire from Ben Wheatley was very fun. Lots of action in that, but it was more the humour. The Big Sick was kind of the surprise film of the summer. Kumail Nanjiani, who's in Silicon Valley, the TV show, made this sort of biographical film about interracial relationships and how his girlfriend fell into a coma and he had to deal with her parents all the time at the hospital. It's incredibly funny. It's very sweet as well. It's so endearing. But probably the best comedy of the year, Paddington 2. Paddington 2.
Okay.
You know, I love the first film. I couldn't have expected the second film to better it. It does, by a country mile. It is hilarious. It's heartwarming. Putting Paddington in prison is probably the film's masterstroke because all of a sudden it's not, oh, everything's marmalade sandwiches, everything's so much fun.
And of course, we lost Michael Bond this year, didn't we?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Just before the film came out as well. But Paddington 2's best moments are reserved for Hugh Grant. I kid you not, this is Hugh Grant's greatest role ever. Absolutely hilarious. He plays a washed-up actor. Yeah, I know,
that's
I know.
A stretch, isn't
I know
it?
Exactly. Who basically is trying to do this heist. And he's just brilliant in it. I mean, anytime he's not on screen, you kind of feel like, I want him on screen. And if you haven't seen it yet, please do go and see it. And please do stay through the credits because there is a song and dance number from Hugh Grant that is better than 99% of the Marvel post-credit sequences.
Okay. So does it top him dancing down the stairs to Jump for My Love in Love Actually?
Yeah. Oh, yes, yes, yeah. But do you know what the funny thing is? He's got the moves.
Yeah.
He's got the moves. He can do it. So... yes, yeah. Now, Paddington 2, I enjoyed it from the moment the credits started, like minute one, all the way through to minute whatever it was, whenever it finished, which, to be honest, was probably too soon anyway. I just enjoyed it from start to finish.
Mark Sibb is the guest this afternoon. We're talking the best stroke worst films of 2017. It's Phoenix FM Drive, just coming up to 3:45.
Phoenix FM.